Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, Reel 7.
Mr. J. Avery, Reel 7. When you were on the beaches in Devon, Mr. Avery, were you in bivouacs for the whole of the time you were there?
The whole of the time we were there, there was no static buildings or nothing, because it was right on the beach. And
this basically would be what time of the year?
Well, let's see. It was warmish weather, you know. It wasn't really coldish weather, like, you know. It was, I can't remember the date, but it wasn't that cold, like, you know, during the day, like, but a bit cold through the night, like, when you were on a stag, like, you know.
Where was your food cooked?
It was cooked by a sea company, which was up on the top of the hill, like, their HQ, you see. It was cooked by them and fetched down in Dixies, like, you know.
And did you get warm meals?
Well, you had to come, a kind of distance, like, you know, they weren't really cold, but they weren't really as they should be, like, dished out. But you got your meals, like, you know.
What kind of food were you getting at this time?
Well, the bear rations sometimes, a bit of bacon, one thing or another. Burger, you know, the old stuff, like, you know, stick your guts together, sausage stuff. It was that, and you could see in the Dixie come down. That was more colder than any of the other, like, you know, it got colder, shallow, than anything else.
Did you get any breaks between the meals, any where you could have a cup of something?
No, just your meals. And when you come, you get your breakfast, you come with your dinner, then you got your tea, then that was your colo, that was your lot. You got no more.
Toilets, were they in any form of building or tent?
No, nothing, just, you know, well, they were formed like a meshing around, like, you know, the same as we did elsewhere, like, you know, we did it in the desert, like, just do a hole and that was it. That was about
For washing yourselves and keeping yourselves clean in that way?
Well, you got a bit of water down for washing, like, you know. Or you could, sometimes you could get out of there. Out of the anti-tank ditch, because it was clear water almost. That
there was water in it.
Water, that's quite a depth of water. What had come down from, what had drained down from the hills, like, you know, down the bank into the tank trap.
So you were in slit trenches,
right?
And you had an anti-tank ditch. Were there other forms of defences you were putting in? For example, were they wired?
Well, they were all that, bungalow wiring, like, you know, that was stretched along the beach, like, you know, and it was stretched, around your defences sort of stuff.
And were civilians not allowed on?
No civilians allowed at all, nowhere near. There was no civilians allowed at all, anywhere near that at all. It was only military. You got visits from the CEOs, like, you know, come visiting the places, the companies along the line, A, B, C, and D, like, you know, along the coast. And that was pretty about it, sort of style there, like, you know. There was no entertainment, you know, there was nothing to.
So you had no leisure time?
No really. Leisure, really. No leisure time at all.
You didn't get into nearby towns or villages?
No. We weren't supposed to be allowed out, but that's telling the tale, like, you know, which we did do.
You did get out?
Did get out, unofficial.
And where did you go?
There was into the village, there was the dance. There was a dance on there, this night we went out. And the dance was on, and this lad called, is on there, Jimmy Singlewood. He was one of the lads, the RAs, like, and he left the gap open for us, like, you know, so we could go through the minefield. It was all mine, you know, that. And when we come back, like, he put it back again, like, you know. So we sneak out this night into the thing, went to this dance, like, in the village. And they had a good night with them that night, like, and nobody seemed to know we were out there unofficial, like, you know. But we were in there and they had a raffle. It was like, you know, I think it was a ticket, I think, or something like that. And we were sitting, like, you know, we wanted to buy some, so we bought, you know, a couple of tickets, like, you know, then because you had a great lot of money. And it was a guessing thing. What was in this parcel, sort of style, like, you know. You got a piece of paper and you had to write out what was really in it that was passed around, like the parcel thing, yeah. Writ out whatever you thought was in it. Some soap or anything, you know. You just read out what you thought was in the parcel. And just how funny it was, this blind girl sitting next to us. And she knew what was in the parcel. And she, sitting next to Jimmy, she says, she talked to him, like, exactly what was in the parcel. And we were in the parcel. You know, some ever-ready blades and palm olive soap, you know. I mean, you wouldn't know what soap was. If you thought it was soap, you put soap with the 8 palm olive soap and the grain and wet towel. Yeah, everything part, and he won't it, like, you know. Just got a laugh, like, you know, this last eye. We didn't know she was blind, like, you know. She told us, tell Jimmy, sitting next to her. And he just read it out when she was telling him what was in his money. He come back that night, off the dance, like, you know. Snake down, met the lad, Zari, closed the gap, come down, and got back, like, nobody in here would be now. We got back again, and that was it. And there was a couple of nights after that, a cow. Two lads out, one of the companies, the Scots lads, start firing at one another, like, and caused a rumpus. And the same night, if it didn't happen, a cow got away, so he can run into the minefield and blow. The call out then was the blown up, like, sort of style. Everything was going along. And that night, everybody had to stand still. Everybody was standing still. Everything was right on the wall. Like, you know, I thought it was an invasion.
Was there many invasion scares and rumours? Well,
yes, there was quite a few. There was saying there were barges, you know, coming, reports of barges on the way, things like, you know. and those rumours that the coast along the seafront, like along the water, was all ready for, if there was an invasion, to settle lightly, you know. And there was all this effort that if there was this invasion, just it was to light the water, like, you know, stopping the barges coming in, like, you know.
Did you feel that you could have stopped the Germans had they come at this time when, in the condition that you were in?
Well, we had no heavy stuff. Unless the heavy stuff was back, artillery would be, would be back of us. But what we had was Bren gun and rifle. And that's as much as we had in that section. That was Tilly. So we knew in our mind that if it was a big deal, we hadn't very much chance of coming out of it. We knew we would be left there, because if that had been empty, because they would have taken all the tree trunks off, you know, these like a button, like across the thing to get across. They would have taken all them off, and to get across there, you would have to jump in the thing and swim across. Like, and you mightn't be able to swim across it as well. Because, as I say, it was cloudy, sort of, underneath, like, you know.
But the land behind you was swampy.
No, in the trench itself, like, you know. You know, if you get in and you're stuck in the clay in the bottom, like, you
that's
know.
You yourselves coming back.
If you got in there, you wouldn't get
so
out.
The anti-tank ditch was behind you, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so it was behind it. We were in the front, right. Almost on the beaches. We're almost on the beaches. We knew in ourselves like that. If there was an invasion, we hadn't very much chance at all. We might have gotten one or two of them, but I think we would have been gone as well. So still, that's we knew that was going to happen, but there never was a. The invasion never come off.
Was there any particular time when there was a major invasion scare where you had to actually stand to or go into an action situation?
Well, this one, saying that was only a really stand to we had, was that when the jocks firing and the cow in the mine, like, you know, that caused the function of everybody to stand to. And when, you know, you got the practice, like, you know, a standing to, like, you know, a mock effort, like, you know, there was no invasion, but you got the mock of them to keep you on your tours. But most of the lads said, you should get on and say, we're doing this mock auction. If you just come, we have no chance, it's not going to be much good of this mock invasion. The real thing will come and we'll be left here.
Was there any signs of German activity air above you going over?
Yes, so I got them coming over, but you didn't, never bombed you, never bombed the course. Never. At night time, you could see them bombing Portland Bill and Weymouth and down that way. Up. Yeah, I bombed that. Sometimes you Red Brickport, and it was only a little village, a little town, Brickport. And you had a bomb or two drop there, but the most was further down Weymouth than that way, Portonville, down the coast further down. And as I say, they must have gone inland as well, like, you know, that's as much as the bombing we had, like, there.
How long were you in this area?
Ooh, as I said, I can't remember. Like, you know, it could be in weeks, maybe a month, you know.
Where did you move to when you moved from there?
Where did we go to now? We went back, did we go back to Great Maidenhead, or Maidenhead, Abbotsbury, any road, went there. I think it was there we went to.
And you were still on the anti-aircraft?
Bren Gun, like, you know, Akak, which we call the Buglers, Akak Platoon, like, you know.
Did you get involved with any other units in the area? Were you doing exercises or training?
No, of course. And when we were on the beach, we were there and stuck there. You didn't know exercise. Like, what exercise he did was a bit of PT in the morning, sort of style, really loosening up. Other than exercise with other companies or other battalions, no. You were there solely for the thing, because everyone, when we come back from Dunkirk, Italian numbers, everyone was expecting Chile to invade, you see, and they just shoved everybody right down on the east coast.
Was there any sport organised amongst yourselves whilst you were there?
Not really, because there was nothing to really do there. We couldn't play football because it wasn't good enough, like, for football. We used to have to go, like, you know, with each other, but you couldn't play, because, I mean, if you kick the ball and kick it into the anti-tank, you're getting it out. there wasn't really a lot of sport, like, you know. No.
Were you able to keep yourselves occupied?
Well, cards, like, you know, give me cards and that, we'd get a thing. That's about as much as we had.
And was that gambling for money?
Well, as you would say, make it interesting.
Were you able to do this? Were you supposed to do this? Was gambling?
No, well, I don't think gambling. They didn't allow gambling in the army, did they? And well, I mean to say, we were almost within the front line, sort of stuff, weren't we? When you reckon it out, we were in the front line all that time. Because there was no other troops in front of us, just the enemy.
Were you able to keep your uniforms and clean?
No. This is where we come, like, in the sleeping there, got all this sand lice, you know, the gravel lice, and you kicked up a stink about that.
Did they do anything about it?
Oh, at the end they did. We got relieved to go up to see company to get a wash and change of clothes and new laundry and that. And the time, before that, with that, what we called Chatty, Punk Redway.
This was the story you told of him taking his uniform.
Oh, he had a tent. He had a tent, you see.
Where did you go to after this position on the coast? On the coast.
From the coast. Well, I think Maidenhead, Abbotsbury, one of the two, just backside of the thing. Then we moved from there to where now we got moved to. Ufcombe, that's where we went to. That's right, aye.
And what are we doing here?
We're just getting all doing rifle drill and one thing and another, Bren gun drill and target practicing and all sorts of that, and route marches. I did plenty of them, 30 milers, route marches.
Was the weapons situation and the equipment, was that improving now?
Not really. It was just the same for us. We still had the same rifle and Bren gun. That was no different to us at all. That's all we had. And we did guards there, like, you know. We did pretty well, like, the Aka was renowned as a good guard. Was smart, very smart, like, you know, because there was competition, like, you know, judges, gets, most of us used to get the stick pretty regularly. See your stick, like, you know, used to just do, he didn't do no duties, like, you know, he just, no guard, he just did the all the office duties, like, you know, run messages or something.
That was for being the smartest man on guard.
On guard, right, yeah. Oh, yes.
What were you guarding?
Not really, nothing. It was just a little village. It was just there, like, building, I think it was there to build the battalion up again, like, you know, getting more recruits in, like, you know, got different blokes there, you know.
Was the accommodation better here in this area?
Oh, yes, sir, the accommodation was... We were stationed in a mansion, like, you know. It was the, what do you call it now? Yeah. It belonged to the, I think the brewery mansion. Yeah, what do you call it? The hall, any road, it was called Grantlands. Grantlands, that's the place they call it, Grantlands. And we were in a room, like, you know.
This would be headquarters company, was it?
Yes.
And the other companies, were they in...
Different places, different.
But they were in houses or buildings rather than tents?
Well, I don't know. They say, all the way then, they'd be in another little village, I think they were, just outside of home.
And were you able to relax more here?
Oh, yes.
Amongst the villagers?
Why, this we had a bit of rain. We could go out at night time, we're going to... A beer or two, like, you know. And as I say, we had a room where all the buglers, I think one big room, the front room was, looked out onto the lawn. And around the back was the stables, store places, like, you know, where they kept store, was the company stores. And such as that, they kept in there, the weaponry and the cookhouse was back there. And there was another big long building where they used to use it as a dining hall, you see. Well, troops had been there before. Troops had there, I think it was there. Black Watch, I think, had been there. I'm not sure whether Gordon Island was one of them. Had been there before us. And that it was just left as it was then, when we went in. Like, you know, the tables and all that was there in the dining hall. Like, you know, it was pretty decent there. You could get a wash and cleaned up properly there. And you sat down to your breakfast and your dinner and your tea, which is decently, like, you know.
And what time did your day start?
Well, as I say, then, I mean, I'm taking out, we still used to carry on bugling, like, you know. It was at Rivali, 6 o'clock. You see? And, we was the lads just get up then, we got up at 6 o'clock at Early Valley and used to get up, dress for PT, go out on the lawn, maybe do a bit of exercise or maybe go running around the thousand grounds, like, you know. And from back there, back in, get washed down again, like, you know, washed and then, or he hadn't shaved, then ready for breakfast, which was round about, before that, at times, we used to clean the rifles and Bren guns, like, because we knew you would have inspection of weaponry on that day, like.
Was that inspected every day?
Yes. every day.
And these would be on the site that you were chosen for your anti-aircraft Brent. That would be the position.
We didn't really do a lot of that. Like, we just had one to go out, like, and do training with, like, you know. We didn't have known for protection, sort of stuff. Because it was only a little village, like, you know. I mean, if they dropped bombs or like that, they were might have cleaned a lot out in one go, sort of stuff. And as I say, we used to do clean our weapons and go for breakfast, you see, and stay after breakfast on parade again.
And on parade, were you on parade as buglers, or were you on parade as those, the rest of the men?
Well, we're on. If you were bugling, you did bugling. You did a bit of bugling, you see. And then you'd come back, maybe do a bit of weapon training, you see, man. You weren't permanently on bugling. But you got your turn, and each man got his turn, sort of stuff, like, you know. Which Mary didn't, wasn't bad, like. It was only a little village. Because you used to laugh. Some of the cooks was living out, like, in the village. There was a little council estate. You used to play the bugle, like, you know. And you used to say, why are you playing it here? You said, go out just along the road there to the, out the drive. The council estate, he said, blow it there, he said, everybody lives up there.
Living up there, were they living with civilians or?
Why, civilians, you know.
Girlfriends?
Well, friends or, you know, that's what they did, and we just blowed it from the grantlands. Because, as I say, we just blew it there. But as I say, we used to joke on, you used to say, you shouldn't blow it, they should go up and play it up in the council estate, sort of stuff. They could hear it, like, you know.
Did you have better leisure activities here than...
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I had plenty. I had football, boxing. There, like, I was in the boxing team. Well, there was seven of the Yakak were in the boxing team.
And who were you boxing?
All different, different companies, and different regiments, and different RAs, and Royal Engineers, or MPs, you know, different companies that was around and near at hand.
Did you get any special privileges if you were in the boxing team?
No, not really. If you were going to fight, that you got a bit of leeway of training, like, you know. But not anything to shout about. No. Because it wasn't there. You weren't there. Not like the army in peacetime. If you were a good boxer, you got privileges, as you say. Put this light on. And you never got the privileges then. You just what they're allowing you, because you still have to do your own thing. Especially maybe in the morning, if you were going to box a few days, or you got up and did a bit of training, running around, running just 2 or 3 miles, you know, and back again, all sweated up. You know. I was too. We did pretty well, like, you know. We did they did that in France, like, as well. You know, we were in Emeren. They went to Mouchin to fight different regiments, like, you know.
And you had a good boxing team.
Oh, you had a good boxing team, aye. Well, you know, the average sort of stuff. We didn't all win at times. Most of the time, times we did win, like, you know, like everything else.
Boxing team, was that under the wing of a officer?
Yes, it was. And that was Lieutenant, he was Allison. You know, not Allison, he has the grey headstone, he has the old headstone, he has the place up going on the Barry Castle there, Corrie, you know that. Yeah, he was cutting him. You know, no, but he was, but, Allison, Tut Allison, Tut Allison, he was gone. He was the bloke in charge. Or the county officer.
Did officers box in the team?
Not many, like, you know. You know, you got one or two, tried hands, like, you know. But, when we were the come, like, we got to tell you, I just forget where they come from, I don't remember now. And this lad, I thought he was a Scottish amateur champion. He just beat.